If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're over at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read the first three verses here. And so what we're going to share with you here this morning is walking worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Ye are called to be Christians. You are called to be Christians. You are called to be followers of Christ. And so as we're followers of Christ, we are a reflection of Him. We are His disciples. We are one of His. And so when people see us, we have a reflection of Jesus within us. And that's what the world sees within us. Just as you are a representative of the Cane Revival Center in the community. Because you come to church here, and when you go out into this town, they don't know what it's like at the Cane Revival Center, but they can come to an idea of what it's like at that Cane Revival Center by the way that you represent the church, the way that you show the love of Christ, the way that you do business in town, the way that you treat people. They look at you and think, oh, that's what that church is like. We are followers of Jesus, and we are His representatives here upon this earth. And so walking worthy is what I want to talk about today. And the Bible tells us how to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that You'll help us today, God, as we look at Your Word. God, what Your Word says about our walking and walking in faith and being Your representatives here upon this earth, God. How are we to walk? How are we to present You here upon this earth? Help us, Father. Lord, in the name of Jesus, amen. So Ephesians chapter 4, the first three verses. This was Paul writing, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, or walk worthy of the calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to walk worthy of the calling wherein you are called. Now, ultimately, we are all called to be sons and daughters of Christ. In this world, we all have a vocation, or we all had a vocation. If you're retired now, you all did something. And even in that, God wants us to walk worthy, wherein in that He has called us to do. Not to do it haphazardly, not to do it half-heartedly, not to do it because looking at it as a chore, it's just my lot in life, and I'm not enjoying it, and I'm just going to just do what I have to do to get by, and I'm definitely not going to do my best. I'm just going to hope that I make it through another day, and then another day, and another week, and another year. There's people that live their lives like that. But we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. Amen. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, you'll find some of the fundamentals of Christian living. And number one, verse one, we're to walk worthy of the vocation or calling wherein we are called. The word here, walk, has to do with behavior. It has to do with your daily conduct, where it says in verse 1, walk worthy of the vocation. That has to do with your daily behavior. That has to do with your conduct, how Christians live day by day. And worthy means balancing the scale. Balancing the scale. You walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. And we are to fulfill this. Amen. We are to fulfill this in our life. And it corresponds with us according to a child of God. I'm going to walk worthy of the calling that God has put on me. And Paul went on in verses 2 and 3, and he stated some of those characteristics that we as believers are to show in our lives. If we're going to walk worthy of this calling that we are called, what's this calling that we are called? We are called to be sons and daughters of Christ. We are called to be His ambassadors. We are His examples into this world. And that's what we are called into. Amen. And so the characteristics that it discusses here, and we're going to look at them in verse 2 and 3. Amen. We're going to look at those. These are to be shown in our lives, in the lives of believers. We are to have these. And these characteristics belong, amen, to every born-again Christian. The characteristics that we're going to look at here this morning, it's in you, but maybe it's not there in its fullness. These things that we're going to look at, we're walking worthy of that vocation. God has called me to be a Christian, and I'm walking worthy of it. I'm be a good ambassador of Christ. I'm going to be a good soldier of Jesus. I'm going to be His good example here upon this earth with the help and the grace of God. And there's five characteristics that are listed here. And the first one is to live in lowliness. To live in lowliness. And if we're going to live in lowliness and walk worthy of that vocation wherein we are called, we can't be self-centered. We can't be there's no such thing as a self-centered Christian. You can't be a Christian and be self-centered. It's not about yourself. When Jesus was here, it wasn't about Himself. He wasn't self-centered. He wasn't looking for His comfort. He wasn't looking to live an easy life. And everything's just all about me. And if it's for my convenience, I'll do it. If we live in lowliness, we can't be self-centered. We have to put others first. Amen. Jesus first. Others second. They say joy is Jesus first. Others second and yourself last. There's so many people that are saints of God, they are children of God, but they're just very self-centered. It's all about them. It's all about their convenience. It's all about their comfort. Now, the church isn't going to be so demanding of you that you don't have a free moment, a free time in your week to do those things that you want to do. But sometimes we have to be careful. We can become so self-centered. We can become so self-centered that we don't have any time to do anything for the church. We don't have any time to do anything to help another Christian or brother or sister. We don't have any time to fit in our schedule to help anybody to do anything that they might need help with, because it's all about me, myself, and I, just self-centered. And so if we are to walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called, we're going to live in lowliness, and we're not going to be a self-centered person. God doesn't want us to be self-centered. Jonah was self-centered. God told him to go to a certain place, and he didn't want to. It didn't agree with him. He was going to do what he was going to do. And there's other examples in the Scripture of people that were self-centered, and it was to their demise. It wasn't to their good. So examine yourself. Make sure that you're not self-centered. And remember what I said. These characteristics are to be in all believers. They are to be in us, and they are there. Perhaps it's not there in its fullness. I myself included can work on this a little bit so that I'm not so self-centered. Well, does it fit into my schedule? Is it going to work for me? Sometimes we just have to give of ourselves. We have to throw our schedule out the door and be out there and giving of ourselves to others and helping others. That's one of the characteristics of a child of God, to walking worthy of that vocation wherein you are called, with all lowliness and meekness. Amen. A meekness, and that could go right along with gentleness. Amen. We are to be meek. We are to be gentle. That means that we can't be harsh. If we're children of God, if we're the sons and daughters of Christ, we're walking worthy of that vocation wherein we are called. We are not harsh. We are not harsh. We don't come back harshly against people. We don't appear to be an angry person where we're just always pronouncing judgment on situations and things. We're not harsh. We're loving. We're forgiving. We're understanding. We have empathy within our hearts. Amen. To walk worthy of that vocation wherein we are called. Jesus could have been a lot harsher than what he was with the opposition that he faced. He displayed a lot of patience. He displayed a lot of understanding. And we are to do the same thing. We are to live in gentleness. Amen. Live in meekness. If we're going to live in meekness and gentleness, gentleness and meekness is the same thing. Amen. We can't be harsh people. Harsh. There's a lot of people that are Christians that are very harsh, very judgmental. Just, this is the way it is. This is what you need to do. But if we have the love of Jesus and we're walking worthy of that vocation wherein we are called, we are not going to be harsh. We are not going to be harsh. And we are not free. We are to live in long suffering. That means that we're going to have patience. And so if we're going to live in long suffering and have patience, we can't live our lives pushing our own agenda, just watching out for me, myself, and I, for the good that I can get out of this. I'm going to be patient with other people. I'm going to be understanding with other people. Can you lose your patience with other people? Yes, you definitely can. And remember what I said. These are characteristics are to be displayed in our life, and they are in each one of our lives, but perhaps it's not to the fullness like God wants it to be. Amen. God wants us to live and be long-suffering, to be patient, not pushing our own agenda, just watching out for me. This is what I want. We have to give in a little bit of times. Amen. We're to forbear one another in love, and that means bearing with one another. We can't have unrealistic expectations of others. There's times that we have unrealistic expectation of others, especially within our own household. We have to be careful of that. Amen. We can have mercy on everybody else, but we can't have mercy on the people that live under our own roof. God help us. God help us to be understanding, and that's in your families, your own personal families, but that's also in the family of God. We need to be patient with each other and not have unrealistic expectations of each other. I expect you to be in that church every single time those doors are open. I expect this of you. I expect that of you. I expect you to be in every single prayer meeting. I expect you to always put your tithe in every single time and always give your offerings. We can't have unrealistic expectations of people. We are to be long-suffering. Amen. We're to forbear one another in love. Having unrealistic expectation of others is going to lead to disappointment. You're going to be disappointed. You have this expectation that they're going to reach to here. They're going to get to here. And they only get to here. You can become discouraged. It can become upsetting for you. Amen. But if you have the love of Christ in you and you're walking worthy of that vocation wherein you are called, you're going to forbear one another in love. You're going to bear with. Amen. And you have to have the unity of the Spirit. Amen. And it talked about that in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, to have the unity of the Spirit. Amen. We can't live within differences. We have to get our differences settled out. We have to get them figured out. Amen. We have to come to common ground. Amen. We do all of this. Amen. And unity is going to be the result if we live in lowliness, if we live in if we live in long-suffering, if we forbear in one another, then there's going to be a unity in the Spirit. We're going to get along. We're going to understand. There's times I need people to be understanding of me because I might not always be easy to get along with. And so I need them to be compassionate with me. I need them to show me some gentleness and not be harsh with me. Being harsh with people is not always the answer. Sometimes you just have be gentle with people, and it's not easy to be gentle in a situation when you think you shouldn't have to. They should understand. They should know what their duty, what their obligation is, and they just don't get it. So I'm just going to drop the hammer on them. Amen. If we're going to keep the unity in the Spirit, we need to work with one another. Philippians 1:27 tells us this. Philippians 1:27, I'm turning over there, and it says this: not only let your conversation, and that means your conduct or your behavior, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Let your conduct be as it becometh a Christian, as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Amen. Let your conduct be in such a way that it's a reflection of Christ. It's a reflection of Christ and what Jesus would do in those situations. We are to shine a positive light on the gospel. Do you shine a positive light on the gospel? Or are you one of those that when conversation breaks out in the community about certain things, that it comes up? Oh, yeah, and would you believe what I seen so-and-so doing? And you know they go down there to that revival center? Man, what do they teach those people down there? There shouldn't be able to be anything, any truth said of you that would be a bad reflection to the gospel. And I'm not saying just to the Cain Revival Center, that's the name of the church here, but I'm saying anything that would be a bad reflection of the gospel. Have you ever heard anybody in conversation talking about somebody else, and you hear people say this, and it cuts me to the heart when I hear people talk like this, because I've heard it out and about in places of business in the community, and they'll be talking about a situation or a thing, and then they'll end it with, "And I thought they were a Christian." Why, if that's what a Christian is, I guess I don't want to be a Christian. They're not walking worthy of the vocation wherein they are called. People are watching you all the time. We are to shine a positive light on the gospel. We are to be different. We are to be holy. We are representing the kingdom of God. We are representing the kingdom of God. When I work at the Lutheran home, I'm representing the Lutheran home. I have to dress in a way that they want me to dress. They have rules of conduct up there, and I have to conduct myself in a certain way. I'm a reflection. And then where it gets tacky and it gets difficult for places of employment, even in the community, they want their employees to remember they are a reflection on the Lutheran home. If they go out of that Lutheran home and they start bad-mouthing a place and talking about how terrible it is and how they do business and this and that, that brings a bad reflection upon the Lutheran home. And it's the same way with the gospel. We can come into church, but when we go out into the community, what kind of reflection are we bringing back? Back to the gospel? Are we bringing back to the church that we attend? We need to be careful. Amen. We need to be careful. We are to be a different people. We are to be a holy people. So to be practical about how to walk worthy of our calling as believers. And then we're going to look at some different things to be practical about this. Well, I sort of like what you're saying already, but I'm just not quite getting it. How to be practical to walk worthy of the calling as believers. We're representing Jesus. I don't want it ever to be said of me, of something that I do, for someone then to say in their conversation, "And he calls himself a Christian? He calls himself a minister? And he did this, he did that, he said this, I seen him going there, I seen him doing that, I seen how he handled that situation." I'm using myself as an example, but it's for you too. You are a reflection of the gospel. Number one, what we need to do, and these are some of these that we already went over, but in a little bit of a different light. If we are going to reflect the gospel in a positive way, we need to be humble. We need to be humble people. Amen. So lowly, so humble and holy, that song we sing. All I ask is to be like him, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. But we want to be holy, but we don't want to be humble. We need to be humble. And how do you be humble? You don't think of yourself as somebody great. You don't think of yourself as somebody great. You just have a chip on your shoulder. You're really somebody. A Christian should never come across as an arrogant person. That's not being humble. Even if you know you're right about something, you're going to be humble. You're just going to back down a little bit. Amen. Not from the truth of the gospel. I'm not talking about that. Amen. But you're going to be humble. You don't think of yourself as somebody great. And if you want to know if you're humble, answer this question. And you're going to find out if you're a humble person. Do you look at some people and sort of look down on them as though they're less than you? Don't answer that question out loud to me. Do you look at some people and you look down on them? They're just somebody less than me. I'm better than them. If you have that in you and you can say, "Yeah, there's people I look at that way," you need to become humble. Amen. You need to become humble. I don't think for one minute when Jesus was here, he thought of himself as being better than anybody else. "I'm better than you. You know, I'm God in the flesh. I'm the Son of God. I'm better than you. Let me show you how it is." He was a humble person. God calls each person into a special place that they can only fulfill, that only they can fulfill. And so be humble in the place that you are. Some people might not be able to do as much as you do, but that doesn't make them any less, because God has a special purpose and a special for everybody, something that he has everybody, amen, in line to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I don't think I have this one scripture, but verses 18 and 22, that's where it talks about each member of the body of Christ is important. Each member of the body of Christ is important. And so we need to be humble, and we need to consider each person to be just as essential as we are. As essential as you might think that you are. Why, I do this and I do that, and there's nobody that can do it like I can do it. You don't look down on somebody else. You look at them in this light. You consider each person to be just as important as you are. They're just as equal as you are. You're not better. That's one of the ways, amen, of walking worthy of the vocation wherein that God has called you, of being a Christian. God wants you to be humble. Number two, God wants us to be gentle. And who is gentle? What does that mean? Gentle means one who is kind, even-tempered, and pleasant to be around. Do you fit that? Remember, I said it, the characteristic is in each one of us, but maybe not to its full potential. A gentle person is one who is kind, they're even-tempered, and they're pleasant to be around. And if I said, if we all could, gave you all the opportunity, I'm sure you could all do it, you wouldn't want to because we're Christians and we wouldn't stand up and name names, but I'm sure that we could all name somebody that's not pleasant to be around. Hopefully it's not another child of God, because if it is, they're not representing Christ very well. They're not walking worthy of the vocation wherein they are called. We are to be even-tempered. We are to be kind. We are to be pleasant to be around. Now think about this. Think about Joseph. Joseph, whenever he was down in Egypt, he was kind and he was gentle with his captors. I don't think he was mean to the slave owners. I don't think he was mean to the prison guards. It's unfair that I'm in here. You need to treat me better. You need to get the king down here to talk to me. And so because he was kind and gentle with them, it caused him to win. It caused him to win the heart of Pharaoh. He won the respect of Pharaoh, and then he made Joseph the second in command over Egypt. And Joseph, what did he do? He lived in a way that honored God because he was gentle. Even whenever he was accused of trying to make an advance on the Pharaoh's wife or on Potiphar's wife, whichever one it was there, he didn't stand up and say, "Now wait a minute, there was no such thing that happened. I would never do something like that. You should know I wouldn't do that." I believe that he was just gentle and he was quiet. And Jesus was gentle at the time of his crucifixion. He didn't stand up and try to defend himself. "You know all this that they're saying about me. You should know that it's not true. They just don't like me." He didn't even try to defend himself. In fact, the scripture says that at the time of his crucifixion, he opened not up his mouth. "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And about the only words that Jesus said, amen, at that time is, "Thou sayest, art thou the King of the Jews? Thou sayest that I am." And so, Joseph, amen, Joseph lived in a way that honored God. And for us today, what's that have to do with us? If we are going to be gentle, and for us today, when you're managers, at your places of work, whatever the situation is, your managers, your co-workers, and others, when they see you behave in a gentle nature, it makes them wonder, what's different about you? How can you handle that? There's been a false accusation made against you, and you just seem so calm about it. You seem to be just so whatever it is, and because you are walking worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. Even when false accusations are made against you, you don't just, it's all right. God's got this. God's going to take care of it. That's being gentle. That's walking worthy of the vocation wherein you are called. And number three is to be patient with others. Let's face it, unless you're different than me, people can get on my nerves. There are some people, just the way they are, just when they get around me, I'm just almost on edge instantly because I just know what's coming. I just know what's coming. But I need to be patient with others. Amen. There's people that will get on your nerves. There are people that will purposely do hateful things against you to try to rile you up and try to stir you up. And we need to remember how patient that God is with us. God is very patient with us. We don't meaningly do it, hopefully not meaningly on purpose doing things, but we do things against God. God is patient with us. He's gentle with us. Amen. We need to practice. Amen. We need to practice patience with other people. Practice patience with other people. What that will do, it'll cause you to see the best in people. Be patient with other people. Be understanding with other people. Be patient with them as they grow in the Lord. Amen. God's patient with our growth in Him. Do any of us really think that we're growing in God as much as God wants us to grow and as quick as He wants us to grow? If we're truthful, probably the answer would be no. But yet God is patient with us. He doesn't give up. Amen. We need to be patient with others. Be patient in their spiritual growth. You're nurturing somebody along. You're discipling somebody. You're trying to help them to be a Christian. You're showing them the Word of God. And then they have downfalls and they'll have up. You need to be patient with them because God is patient with us. And then number four, we need to live in unity with the believers. We need to live in unity with believers. To live in unity, we need to consider, as I already went over this and over it in another way now, we need to consider others above ourselves. We don't show no unnecessary judgments on people. You just don't be harsh with people. You be gentle with people. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says this, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than himself. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. On the things of others. We need to be patient. We don't do anything through vainglory. Amen. And you esteem each other better than yourself. God wants us to do that. Amen. Wants us to honor other people, honor somebody. Even if they don't have an education, that's okay. You can still honor that person. Well, they can't read and they can't write. They're a nobody. They're a nothing. We still honor that person. They have a speech impediment. They stutter a lot, okay? And I'm not doing that to make fun of those people, but we still honor them. We respect them. We respect the dignity of other people. Amen. We have a great respect for other people. Not thinking, you know, well, and we can tell those that have respecter of persons. You come into a room. How is it that you react? There's somebody there that's of low estate. They're not wealthy. They don't have much. And they just struggle. They don't maybe have much of an education. And in the same room, when you walk in, there's somebody there that's very well educated. They're very well to do. They hold status within the community. Which one are you drawn to give attention to? Check yourself a little bit. If you don't esteem any other, if you treat all people equally, it probably would be wiser to go to that lowest man first. Greet them. Have a good conversation with them. You know you're not going to get anything from them. You're not going to get any material benefit from speaking with them like you might with a wealthy person. But people, we tend to do that as a people. We don't treat people evenly. We don't treat people fairly. We tend to lift one up of another. And that isn't a reflection of the gospel. Walking worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. Jesus went to the weak and lowly. He went to those that didn't have anything. He went to those people that were without. He went to the poor. He went to the needy to help them. God wants us to do the same thing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 23 says this, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Remember, we're talking about walking worthy of that vocation wherein we are called. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatever we do, if it's running a vacuum cleaner in the church, we do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. If it's running the vacuum cleaner, if you're a custodian somewhere, and for some reason, I don't understand it why, because I enjoy cleaning. And how many like a clean place? I do. I like to walk into a place that's nice and clean and out. Well, a custodian had to do that. A custodian had to do that. And whenever you do these things, whatever it is that you're doing, you do it as unto the Lord and not unto men. Even if it's mopping the floor. And we use the old analogy all the time. Even if it's cleaning the toilet. If it's cutting the grass. If it's shoveling the snow. Well, I cut the grass. I did a haphazard job. I skipped a little part over there. But what's the difference? It doesn't matter. What we do, if we're doing a good reflection of the gospel and walking worthy of our vocation, everything you do, you're going to do it to the best of your ability. Have you ever heard the saying, anything worth doing? Amen. Anything worth doing, you do it right. You give it your all. Anything worth doing is worth doing it right. You do it. You give it your all. You do it as unto the Lord. You don't do a halfway job. Amen. Nobody's going to notice. We know that God is always watching. And there's people that are on jobs and in jobs. And if they know that nobody's really going to notice, they won't do something that they're supposed to do. But that can be a reflection on the gospel. Even if it's not uncovered, even if it goes unnoticed that you didn't do what you should have done. We're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. We want to bring a good word to the gospel. The work you do reflects on your character. It reflects on your character. And the God you are worshiping, the God that you are worshiping, it's a reflection of that. When Daniel went down into captivity, he couldn't eat certain things. Him and the Hebrew boys, amen, the three Hebrew boys, different ones, that they couldn't eat of that diet that they were eating. They just lived differently, and they didn't do it proudly, but they were doing it as unto the Lord. It was a reflection of the God that they were serving. And number six, we need to be grateful at all times. Joseph is an example of that. When he was in captivity in the book of Genesis, he was in captivity and he was in prison, but he was grateful at all times. Amen. We need to be grateful. You need to be grateful that God is guiding your steps. Well, I don't like the position I'm in right now. That's very possibly so, and it can be understood in some situations, but we need to realize, amen, that God is guiding our steps. God is guiding my steps today. He knows where I am today. He knew I was going to be here from the day that I was born. He knew where I was going to be at this time in my life. And it's the same way in your life. God is guiding your steps. We need to be grateful at all times to have a good reflection upon the gospel. Even when life seems unfair, we need to be grateful. God, I'm not grateful for this evil that's befallen me, but I still have a grateful heart. Amen. Even when life seems unfair and it's filled with setbacks, God has a long-term plan for your life. Remember, I shared that last week, I believe it was. All things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. God has a reason. Amen. Even when life seems unfair and it's filled with setbacks, God has long-term plans for your life. For your life. So don't grumble and moan in the situation that you're in. If you want to bring glory to God, you give thanks always in all things. God, you knew I was going to be in this predicament and situation that I'm in today. God, and you're going to get glory out of this some way and somehow. And I don't know how it's going to be, but I just want it to be over, Lord. There's nothing with praying. Like that. God does have long-term plans for your life. And then the last thing that I have written here, amen, if you want to be a good reflection of the Lord, trust God to direct your steps. God, I'm trusting you to direct your steps. Not many can say, we're not going to raise our hands, but if I would say it this way, how many can say by a show of hands that your whole life has made sense to you? I don't think anybody put their hand up. My whole life hasn't made sense to me. You can sit, you can reflect a little bit. You think back of things that you went through. It didn't make sense to me, but look where you are today. Look what God has done in your life. Amen. Almost every day, we're going to have questions. We're going to have uncertainties. We're going to have perplexing situations that we're going to face. But we have to trust God to direct our steps. God has a plan for you. We have to learn to trust in the Lord. That little chorus that we sing sometimes, I will trust trust in you, Lord. I will trust in you, Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die. Amen. That brings a reflection upon Him. Amen. To walk worthy of your calling, you have to conduct yourself in a way that brings glory to God. In a way that brings glory to God. I conduct myself. I'm not grumbling and complaining because of the situation I'm in today. I know God's doing something good. I don't know what it is, but something good's going to happen out of this. And when I get there, I'm going to understand. Now we see through a glass darkly, but when we get there, we're going to see Him face to face. We're going to understand things. It's all going to make sense to us now. And it reminds me of a situation. Sometimes the light just has to turn on for us. And God does it at unexpected times in our lives. I remember a situation of someone telling me a story. And they were having a service, taking care of some ashes, having a little funeral service. And one of the children that was there, he was probably in his 50s. He was an older guy. But he was mentally challenged and couldn't understand this whole concept of where his dad was now. And he was struggling with it. And as the minister was praying, and he was talking about dad, because dad loved Jesus, how that dad is now in heaven in the presence of the Lord. Right in the middle of that prayer, that one that was challenged in his 50s probably at that time, I think he might even put his hand up and he said, "Now I get it. Now I understand it. Dad's with Jesus." And sometimes in our lives, we have those moments in those awakenings where all of a sudden the bell comes on. And it's like, now I see it. Now I understand it. And God will do that to us. And so no matter where you are in your particular situation today or circumstance, perplexity that you're in, it's like, I don't understand that. I don't understand. I don't know what's going on. But all of a sudden, the light's going to come on. And maybe you're not going to say it, but in your mind, you're going to be like, now I get it. Now I understand it. And so all things that we do, let's do to walk worthy of that calling, to conduct ourselves in a way that brings glory to God. And here's the last thing. Don't quit if you mess up. If you mess up in some of these areas and you're not bringing a good testimony to the Lord because you messed up and you know you messed up, you just joined in with the crowd and you just didn't do a good thing. Don't quit if you mess up. Remember this. God is always there to help you. He's always there to make you stronger. And so these scriptures that I read, it has to do with that sanctification, with growing in God. And I'm just going to read those again in closing. I beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy. I beseech you. I plead with you. I beg you, Paul's saying, do that. Do it with all lowliness. Do it with meekness. Do it with long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. Putting others first. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you will help each one of us here today, God. Lord, that we will walk worthy of the vocation wherein we are called. God, that we won't bring a bad mark against the gospel. God, we won't be that one that people will say, and they call themselves a Christian. Even I know that they shouldn't do that. God, that we won't fall into those traps. Lord, but we'll walk worthy of that vocation, God. We'll walk with lowliness. We'll walk with gentleness. We'll walk with meekness, God. We'll walk with patience. We'll be preferring one another, God. Lord, we'll fight to keep the unity of the Spirit, Lord, in our church and in our homes, God. Lord, a true reflection of the gospel. Father, in the name of Jesus, help each one of us today. Each one of us, oh God, is calling out to you at this time, Lord, to help us to walk worthy of that vocation wherein we are called. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And search your heart and know that. Let's sing this song. Amen. Because we are, and we got to remember this. I mean, you can stand to your feet. Let's sing, oh yes, I'm a child of the King. His royal blood flows in my veins. I, who was wretched, was blind. Now I see. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. And when people look at me, they're going to see Jesus in me.